It's the 21st Show. I'm Kimberly Schofield in for Brian Mackey. We've talked about the story of the Forgottonia region a number of times on the program. Here's a crash course. There was a movement in the 1960s and 70s to have the western part of the Illinois secede from the United States and make its own country called Forgottonia. The idea was that the region lacked the infrastructure investment other parts of the state were getting, that it had been forgotten. Of course, that did not happen, but you do still hear people using that name to describe the western region of the state. That said, the passage of time has a way of making familiar stories into unfamiliar history, and that's where the Forgottonia Project comes in. It was created by a social studies teacher and the incoming dean of students at Spoon River Valley High School, Joe Brewer. The goal is to teach students living in the Forgottonia region about the history of where they live and also to hear from rural voices that might otherwise be ignored. Here's a snippet from an episode featuring then-Cuba high school students Katie and Courtney Churchill.
Hello and welcome to the Forgottonia Project. On this episode, we're going to try and figure out once and for all what the whole Forgottonia session movement was about. We also want to know how big this movement got. Was Neil really a celebrity? Also, how has our Forgottonia region changed today? And are these changes better or for the worse?
My understanding was that a group of businessmen around the Macomb area wanted to draw attention to this area that they felt did not get the state funding that other larger areas did. And I understand that's how that began. The biggest change in that area was the coal mines left, International Harvester closed, and Caterpillar cut back. There are plenty of jobs, but they're not as good of jobs as there used to be.
Katie, Courtney, and Joey join me now on the 21st Show. Thank you all for being with us. And you can join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. Joey, tell us more about the podcast and how did this come about?
Hey, Kimberly, thank you so much for having us on. So I would say two major influences for me as a social studies teacher out here in rural Western Illinois were, first and foremost, local stories were just missing from textbooks. They weren't really represented in that public consciousness, you know, so I wanted, how can I get more room for my students to learn about some of the really unique culture and history that we have in this region? And then a second kind of influence was, how do I make my classroom much more learner-centered, a much more learner-centered environment? You know, despite all of our amazing technology apps and things like this that we have today, boy, there's a lot of research that we are teaching one of the most disengaged generations of school. And so if I'm going to have a shot, I need to engage my students and demonstrate that they can see themselves in the learning. So they're incredible stories. Illinois has such a large rural population. We have more than 12 states. Our rural population can make up as much as 12 states. The majority of our counties are rural. The majority of our school districts are rural. But historically, we've not done a great job preserving those stories. There's a great quote by an author that we've got to know on our show named Pamela Riney Kerberg. She used to teach at ISU in Illinois. Now she's at the other ISU in Iowa. And she says this quote, "The economic ups and downs of rural places have done little to encourage youngsters raised in the country to stay. We build roads that lead away rather than toward our rural spaces." So if I'm going to have a shot for our students who are part of the biggest demographic of people leaving the state, our young rural students, they need to see themselves in the story. They need to see themselves in the community. So letting students explore the things that matter to them most is a big, big part of what we're trying to do. And I would say the most major pedagogical influence for me was reading a book called Make Just One Change. Teach students to ask their own questions. So shout out to the author of that, Dan Rothstein. And that's really what this started as about, is how can I get my students, like Katie and Courtney here, to ask questions that interest them about this region? And the Forgottonia is one of the favorite stories. It's such a unique framework for all of these 16 counties in this unique region. And Katie and Courtney are two students that really were interested in that story as well.
Katie and Courtney, thank you for joining us as well. Katie, prior to joining the podcast, how much did you know about the history and culture of Forgottonia?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I had little to no prior knowledge. I mean, my brother, when he was in Mr. Brewer's class, kind of dove into Forgottonia and had its own question as if Forgottonia and this whole area was a sundown town. So learning about that, I kind of just had a little bit of knowledge about it, but I would say not as much as I do now after learning about it myself.
Courtney, what was some of the history that most stood out to you?
Just kind of how it all like started as a joke. Like, this was their way of being like, we're not getting proper funding. It's all going to Chicago and stuff like that. We need to be our own state. And that's kind of what I found the most interesting, is how it kind of started out small and then it snowballed. And that's what I really love most about learning about Forgottonia, is how it started off like, you know, so small, and then now it's bigger than what it was before.
And Katie, you mentioned having heard that it was a sundown town. Would you mind clarifying for those who don't know, who may be listening, what that means?
Essentially, what a sundown town is basically an area with mostly little to no diversity. I mean, a lot of us were the same kind of people, mainly white people in this area. We had really no kind of diversity with like other cultures or other races. So that's kind of why my brother kind of dove into, is it a sundown town? Because we all look the same, basically.
Thank you. Joey, talk about keeping Forgottonia history and culture in the spotlight.
Yeah, that is a great question. How do you keep this history in a spotlight? Well, the best thing is to have young people have a space to ask questions about it. And the study of history is a study of perspectives. You've got to talk to people. You've got to listen to people. And it's not just a pet project, you know, keeping that local history spotlighted. It's absolutely essential to do this in school. One of the key skills that have been identified as appropriate to talk about this for the 21st century here on the 21st show is we've got to teach people how to communicate effectively. And so traditionally, not just having a student, you know, answer a question on a worksheet, but actually ask somebody about questions that they have about the community, about the problems that the community addresses. Young people have those questions. They just need a space to ask them. So how to keep the local history spotlighted is give young people a investment, a place to ask those questions where they can make them wrestle with it.
Thanks so much, Joey. And Joey, Katie, and Courtney Churchill, we're going to take a short break in just a minute. We will talk more about the Forgottonia Project. Courtney, I'd like to hear about how you decide on topics. We have just about 15 seconds here, so we can always come back to it. All right, Courtney, welcome back to you when we take this short break. Again, we're talking to Katie and Courtney Churchill and Joey Brewer about the Forgottonia Project. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Kimberly Schofield in for Brian Mackey. We're talking about the Forgottonia Project. It's a podcast, which its name suggests, and it's about the western region of the state known as Forgottonia. It explores the history of the Forgottonia movement and some of the contemporary issues impacting the area today. We're talking about this with Joey Brewer, incoming Dean of Students at Spoon River Valley High School, and Katie and Courtney Churchill, students who have worked on the podcast and recently graduated from Cuba High School. Courtney and Katie, could each of you share how this has changed how you view schoolwork?
A lot of this topic was a lot, and like a lot of Forgottonia and learning about it was a lot of asking questions, diving into history, looking through the Western. So we took a couple trips to Western Illinois University and went through the archives. And so it kind of took a lot of diving into the archives and, you know, figuring things out for myself and for Kate and I both, and learning more. So I would say like a lot of this has like made me want to ask more questions about things and to not be as like worried and like worried about asking questions, I would say.
And how about you, Katie?
For me, I am super grateful that we had Mr. Brewer with us for this project. Mr. Brewer is very good at allowing his students to be very hands-on and allowing us to have that independence to learn about what we want to learn. I mean, it was all through History Club, and there was about like three or four more groups that had their own topics, and Mr. Brewer was really good about giving his time equally throughout all of our groups about all these different projects, and I couldn't be more grateful. So how it has affected my learning is that there's the teachers that allow us to have that independence, and for that, that's really changed my way of learning.
Joey, talk about the work it takes to make something like this happen as opposed to a regular old lesson plan in a classroom.
Oh my goodness, I love that question, Kimberly, because it has been an absolute mess, but a beautiful mess. Organized chaos, a lot of learning from mistakes. And it hasn't been easy, but I'll tell you what, the outcomes that students create make it so worth it. They make it worth everything. And I think what I've learned as a teacher is that the ultimate goal is to get students to be driven by their own curiosity. I mean, we created this history club just as a space for students like Katie and Courtney that just wanted to pursue these questions. And they didn't really do it for a grade. We had to be really creative about when we could do some things, how we could figure things out. But a lot of the beauty of this project is to really understand how to be a remarkable human. You have to schedule things, you have to learn how to communicate with someone. We talked about the girls talked about the archives just to research. And then, how do you really know and trust information to help address the questions that you have? And then the best thing is they would end these projects always with more questions. And so Katie and Courtney talked about being motivated by their older brother. Their brother kind of started out with questions that they very much continued years later. So it is still an organized mess, though, and there's still a lot more I think I have to learn. But when you do give your students that freedom to pursue questions and topics that matter to them, I feel like I'm as much of a learner as they are.
Yeah, a nice unconventional process that leads here. Joey, can you say more details about some of the contemporary issues facing the Forgottonia region and rural regions as a whole?
Absolutely. We've been doing these podcasts since 2017, and so that's been a lot of opportunity to really kind of step back and ask questions about who we are. And so one of the first things that does come to mind is this rural exodus. As I've learned from even talking with rural historians myself, like I mentioned, Pamela Riney Kerberg, how do we get rural youth to really stay and be invested in our town, to have a stake in some of the problems that we are experiencing today, which might be those economic ups and downs, right? So, for instance, our town, Cuba, Illinois, despite losing population over the years, we were at once considered the strip mining capital of the world. And when you look at some of the historic photos that we've seen on our town square, I mean, this town was hustling. It was really a happening place. But the students growing up today, they don't see that culture. They've never seen a miner. Our high school mascot is the miners, but yet the students today have no memory of that. So what does it mean for a town? And I really don't have an answer for that, Kimberly, other than that's a question that we kind of share with our students today. What does our town look like now in this kind of post mining, post-industrial sort of place today? So I know for me, that's one question involving young people that I'm super, super interested with. But a lot of times those questions are unanswered, but they are situated in young people where we might have a most disengaged generation of young people. I said that before, but I am telling you, we really have one of the most creative generations too. And why waste brain power asking students questions to about things that we already know the answers to? Why not spend the brain power sharing some of those questions about how do we address some of these contemporary problems and see what they come up with?
Katie, talk about what it was like to grow up in some of the most rural parts of our state.
For me, it was since we had such a small group of people we were growing up with. I mean, in school, everybody knew each other. There wasn't a name or a face we didn't recognize. And a lot of like drama or any story that was going on around our town, everybody knew, and everybody had their own opinion on.
Like, you knew everyone's parents.
And we knew everyone's parents. We knew everyone's grandparents. I mean, almost to the point where we knew the names of everyone's pets. So growing up in that kind of rural community is kind of, you're just used to familiar faces, which I feel like for being in that rural community and then us having to go out to college and try to do something bigger, you kind of get that sense of anxiety or nervousness. Because you meet unfamiliar faces, and everybody has that anxiety, but especially for people in rural communities, it's kind of hard to transition from knowing everybody to kind of not.
Courtney, can you talk about some of the people who you've interviewed?
We've interviewed John Marshall, and I think that was the very first person we had interviewed with, and we were in Mr. Brewer's classroom. We had the mic set up and, you know, all these stuff for this podcast. And he was a friend of Neil Gaiman, and he told us almost anything and everything that we had asked him. And we had a list of questions set out, but I think we just snowballed off of other questions of what to ask and stuff. And he gave us so much information about Neil Gaiman, and I'm really glad that we were able to interview him. And the next interview was Bill Edley, who was a former congressman, and that was over a Zoom meeting. I remember that. And again, like, he just gave us so much info of Forgottonia and everything that we've wanted to ever learn and know. And it was overall, like, both experiences of interviewing people was not only, like, frightening to me because I'm like, oh my god, this is happening, but it's also like, holy crap, this is a lot of information to take in and to learn and to know. And I just was so grateful for both of those experiences.
And we actually have a clip of your interview with Representative Bill Edley. Let's take a listen.
We began our conversation by getting to know Mr. Edley. We were both surprised to discover he actually knew our family and was even childhood friends with our great-grandpa, Ralph, back in the 1960s, which is crazy to think about.
The problem is that we don't engage at the community level. People like yourselves, young people, get engaged in the political process and elect people to represent you that will then actually serve on the committees and pursue the legislation that you need done. So you didn't have the resources. Our schools didn't have the resources that the schools in the suburbs had. And I tried to address those problems and get more funding through to the schools.
I personally, like, for me personally, I don't think I could, like, jump from Cuba and go straight into U of I, because as much as I love Cuba and I have learned a lot here, I feel like college is also a very big, like, step up from, and especially like going somewhere big, like U of I, Indiana University, ISU.
And we talked about what it's like growing up in very rural regions of this state and going to rural schools. I think there might be a disconnect between rural and urban. Courtney, what do you think of that?
Oh, 100%. I believe there's definitely a little bit of a disconnect. I mean, even with Canton, I mean, granted, it's still, like, I've talked to some Canton kids, and they're like, well, it's a small school, I still know everyone. To me, I see Canton as a little bit, it's obviously bigger than Cuba, but they have, like, three elementaries, a really big middle school that's separated from the high school, and an even bigger high school. But, like, building off of what Kate had said about, you know, going to the same school for all your life, knowing the same and being in the same class with the same kids that you know. And then now Kate and I are both going off to college. She's going to Western and I'm going to Quincy University. And, like, I've been down to Quincy a couple times and holy crap, is it huge. And there's so many people and faces. And, like, it's just crazy on how, like, my little small town that I know all the roads to everyone's houses that live there and who used to live here, And then now I'm moving to somewhere where I'm not familiar with, and that's what is like kind of getting my anxiety ramped up about going away for college, is I don't know people, and like that's what is like freaking me out, is I don't know anyone. And with the small rural areas, you know everyone, you know everyone's faces, you know their parents and their siblings and their pets and whatnot.
And Courtney, coming from a rural area, what do you then consider urban?
Urban, I would definitely probably say like there's sidewalks and there's probably a couple fast food places, I would say, laundromats, and it's a, like there's a bigger population than I think Cuba only has like 400 to 500 people. So I'm just, it's bigger than, it has at least 1,000 or more, I would say, or even 14, I think Canton's 14,000. I think Canton's pretty big, but I don't even know Quincy's population, and that's what's scaring me. But it's definitely, you know, a lot more houses and probably not as run down. This is going to, I'm going to sound awful for saying this, but there's probably not a trailer park somewhere nearby. And that, I would say there's probably not trailer parks nearby. I would say that's probably what makes it a little bit more urban than Cuba.
Katie, how would you entice someone who grew up in a more urban area to live in a rural area?
Entice? What does that mean? Whoops.
How, if you had to try to encourage somebody to live in a rural area, what would you tell them?
Well, my answer for that, and I would say this would also be a positive for living in a rural area, is a bigger sense of community. While rural areas are small, I feel like since everybody knows each other, it gives us that sense of community where we feel comfortable with everybody. And being in urban areas, it kind of, since they have a higher population, I feel like it can be a little scary kind of not knowing everybody. So if you kind of were to go to a rural area and get to know everybody, then I feel like it would, that's kind of the plus side, is that small sense of community.
Thank you both, Courtney and Katie. And Joey, is there anything that you would tell students or maybe teachers who might be interested in getting history about their own area that might be more rural?
Oh, beautiful point. Just to close on that too, is start small. Democracy requires storytelling. So this project here in our community, it's not just a pet project, but a response to a national need. I believe I've read we spend 50 times more on STEM initiatives than we do civics and humanities things. And our project has absolutely been supported and encouraged from places like Illinois Humanities, the Smithsonian, who does a lot of work trying to bridge those urban-rural divides so people can communicate their experiences and share their questions along the way. So start small, start, just embrace the mess, but you can never argue with the outcomes that students create when you do this.
Joey, thank you so much for that. Joey Brewer is the Dean of Students at Spoon River Valley High School, and Katie and Courtney Churchill are recent graduates of Cuba High School. They all have done work with the Forgottonia Project, some of the podcasts which you heard during our conversation with them. Joey, Katie, Courtney, thank you again for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you. Yeah, this is great.
This is the 21st Show. I'm Kimberly Schofield in for Ryan Mackey.